Isaiah chapter 40, which basically is chapter 40 into the end of the book of Isaiah. Here is what it's speaking about. It's speaking about a new message that's coming. And the new message that he's speaking about that's coming is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's dealing with the New Testament. That's dealing with the New Testament church. That's dealing with grace. That's dealing with faith. Dealing with love. And also salvation. Here in the book of chapter 40. But here it says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. It is wonderful to know that when we do get into a situation that will cause us to have doubts or have fear, not the kind of fear that God's speaking about, but the kind of fear that man fears, fearing of another man, another lady, or whatever, and fearing the people that surround you. It's dealing with all of that. But here it says right here in the very first verse, comfort ye my people, saith your God. It don't say, and saith God. It said, saith your God. Because if he just says, saith God, then it would probably be a little G, a little O, and a little D. But this God he's speaking about is my God and your God that has saved us through his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because right here it says, saith your God. And when he's speaking to us about our individual God, it's always going to be with a capital G. Capital G, O, D. And it says, speak ye comfortably, to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she saith, received of the Lord hand double for all her sins. That word pardon, this day and time, you don't hear that much anymore. You may hear it one or two times on the TV, especially the news, when, well, like the Obama, when he was president, right when the day before that he was leaving office there in Washington, I think he pardoned about, I think it's about 30-some, I'm thinking it was about 33 or 34 inmates. And he pardoned them, give them a clean bill of health, like they've never done anything wrong before in their life, like they've never been incarcerated, like they've never said wrong anything about you, the world, about the president, and on top of that, even murder. Now, To me, it's people that's still in office, and it's people that's still in, I say, high cotton, where their name and their recognition is so high to where people look up to them, and if they take the eyes off of them, they will fall. Because they've had so many individuals murdered. Now, I remember one that was murdered that was a news reporter. And he was murdered. You know who he was murdered by? By the Clintons. That's been documented by the Clintons. But have they served any time? Nope. They didn't even go to court. But yet, they've done it. Why? Because they think that they're way up here on that pedestal. And nobody is going to be able to touch them. Because they're so high. And that pedestal is never going to move. They're going to stay right there forever. That's what they think. But when the rapture takes place, they can talk about God all they want to. But I just don't believe that God will. I know God can save them. But unless they turn around, completely around from the way that they're going, they have no hope. You've got to turn about face and walk with God. And you don't only walk with God, you talk with God. You talk with God when you're talking to somebody else about how good God is to you and how good God is to me. Pardon. How many has been pardoned over the years? Oh, they've been pardoned, all right. But it's going to be right many of them going to still go to hell. They ain't been pardoned from hell. They've been pardoned from the jail cell. They've been pardoned where they can go back out in public, where they can get with the family, where they can get back in society, and where they can vote and all that. Even the state of Virginia here has been several years ago now. Now, whether it's got passed or not, I don't know. They kind of hushed it up a little bit. But a bill was going before the Congress there down in Richmond, that for an inmate, when an inmate serves his time, if it's 90 days or if it's 50 years, when he gets out of prison to be incarcerated, everything will be restored back to him like he never done anything wrong. And I'm talking about voting. They should have a right to vote. When you take somebody's life, you should not even have the right to do anything. You should not even have the right to even sue the people and sue the courthouse and sue them. But the reason for that is because we have so many lawyers today. And now what are the lawyers? Money hungry. They are for that dollar bill. And you can tell it. You know how I can tell that a lawyer is for the money? and does not have his client at all in mind, as how that attorney, a defense attorney, can take a case and they got the everything documented, they got everything that's on video and everything, whether it's young man or old man, whatever, killed a family. They're like, here, this week, I don't know if y'all heard or not, and I don't forgot where it's at either, too. But it's a 9-year-old boy. A 9-year-old boy. That they have charged that 9-year-old boy with first degree murder. And one mother come up and says, I can understand somewhere some people say, well, should be. But it doesn't make no difference how young that child is. That child is still 9 years old, and that child did not know what they was doing. Because if they done what he said he done, he was just following what mama and daddy had been talking about, or what they had seen them do, or seen them watch on TV about these people. 9 years old now, killed his father, his mother, and I think it was another young brother, baby. What he done is, he went around and he set a fire in the trailer. And he burned it completely down with the family there inside the home. They did not escape. Now I'm gonna be honest with you. It would be, I mean, I would have to, if I had to go to serve jury duty against something like that, and when the prosecuting attorney, when he comes and asks me questions and where he can accept me or reject me, and then when the defense attorney can come and question me and what I think about this and what I think about that. Before I got through speaking, I would turn to the judge and I said, Judge, I know that you didn't ask me these questions. But I'm going to ask you one, and I want you to look at that and you weigh it out. And I want the prosecuting attorney to weigh it out. I want the defense attorney to weigh it out. I want everybody in here listen to what I'm going to say. Did you say it was a father, a mother, and another small child that was burnt up in a fire that this 9-year-old boy had set, and y'all have got him down to first degree murder? I don't care how old he was. But this young boy right here, 9 years old, he had a brain and he had a thought capacity of a 9-year-old. He didn't have no brain and a thought capacity of a 20 or a 30 or 40 or 50-year-old individual. I said, now, if you can live with yourself and don't think about going to heaven, then you can vote the way you used to see fit. And I know everybody, so a whole lot of people in here want y'all to find him guilty. Guilty. They gonna put him in a cell with another inmate. What do you think they're gonna do to that young child? It ain't no telling. That young child, he's gonna be raped. They're gonna beat him. They're gonna abuse him. And I ain't talking about the government. I'm talking about the inmates themselves. That's the one that's going to abuse him any way they want to and any way they can. But you know what the sad part about that is? And I don't even know why I got off on this. But the sad part about that whole thing is that you got the guards of the prison, and you have the individual that's over the prison ward, and you have all the stakes and everything, and they are all sitting back with the hands behind their back, like the hands has been cut. They can't say nothing. They won't say anything. You know why? Because the individuals that they have down at the guards are so scared of the ones that is incarcerated. They're scared of them. Why? Because they got guns. They got drugs. Not only that, they got people that on the outside is going to still take the orders from the inmate. I mean, what has this society gotten to? I tell you exactly where it's got to. Where it started from. It started with each and every Christian that has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You said, I don't go along with that. I disagree with you on that. I don't go along with that. I don't go along with anything you said about the guards or anything, or the state, anything. And you say, well, but I'm only one individual. Well, the last time that I have read in God's Word that I'm not the only individual. Because first of all, I know the Lord God Almighty that created this world, that created man, that created Lucifer, and all of this. And then he has created the individuals that are thinking the way that they're thinking. They don't know what they're thinking about. They're not thinking about that child. And exactly, and what that child is going to end up like. Because it's a good chance That child, as soon as that child gets out of prison, he could go back in society. And he ain't been there since he was 9 years old. But now he's 20 or 18. I don't know if I have to let him out at 18. But even 18 or 20 or 30 years old, what do they know about being free? What do they know about freedom? Nothing. Because they've been in jail, in prison. Just about all of their life, except for 9 years that they was at home. You have God Almighty, you created me and you, who created that young boy, who created his parents. See, they're going to have a trial now. And this trial, they're going to try to come up and they're going to try to figure out exactly what took place and what happened. But you know, and this is the reason that I'm speaking, and I was speaking about it because I have seen it, I have read about it, I have saw it on TV and everything that's disgusting it, and all of that. But there is nobody, there is no judge that is in the United States of America, there's no prosecutor in the United States of America, and no offense attorney in the United States of America can figure out and know exactly what happened. But all they have to do is turn to the Word of God. Turn to the Word of God. It says it's a sin to take a life. It is. It's a sin to take a life. But are they going to take it 9-year-old boy's life? No, the states are not. They didn't find him guilty. And he would go to death. He would be a death penalty too. See, they didn't go that far. See, everybody else wants to go that far. Everybody else wants to take that 9-year-old boy's life because he took somebody else's life. Let me ask you something. This goes along with the same thing. You take an individual, and I knew this individual. I didn't know her well. But she was 63 years old. And she did not have the mind to know the difference between right and wrong. She didn't know the difference between this or that. She just didn't know the difference. She had the mind of a 4-year-old. She couldn't talk. She couldn't hear. And she's always lived 66 years old when she came from her mother's womb. When she come home with some type of get around in a little small wheelchair or whatever. Well, see, she didn't have the mind. Now, if she had accidentally took some pills that maybe were sitting around the house or something like that, And her mother or her mother or father had just give her two or three of her own pills that she had to take with maybe the seizures or the speaking or whatever. What would be the difference in her taking the same pills and giving it to a mother or giving it to a father or give it to a sibling? What would be the difference? Wouldn't be no difference at all. But people, they think that if a child, it don't matter how old he is or whatever, they think if he pulls that trigger, he kills somebody. No, he didn't kill nobody. And I still say it to this day, what's wrong with this country is the freedom that we have, and we have it so free today, it will ruin our life. It will ruin other people's lives, and we cannot even help them if we wanted to, because it'll be going to ruin our life too. And what that is the deadness that we have toward the Lord Jesus Christ, toward God the Father, and toward the Holy Spirit. I heard a preacher one time says, in a church today, a New Testament church, a pastor should never bring up the word Holy Ghost. The pastor should never bring up the Holy Spirit. He knew he'd done something wrong then. Because I think he had about maybe 10 or 12 different families just turn up, walk out of the church. Didn't wait till the end of church, walked out. And other people saw him walk out. Some people got on the phone that week and called him. Says, why'd you walk out Sunday? He says, because that preacher does not even know what he's preaching. He said, what do you mean? He says, I thought he brought a good message today. He says, yeah, Satan sure did. He brought a good message. Sure did. Satan did. Because Satan never mentioned the word Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you cannot worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't acknowledge God the Father. Because without the Holy Ghost, you have nothing. Oh, yes, just like the Jehovah's Witness. It's been a while since they've been around in my house, which they right down the street from where we live, but the Kingdom Hall is. But they showed up at our door, I believe it was yesterday. And we didn't go to the door because I had talked to probably 10 or 15 of them that had come to my door. And before I just went out there and I just let them go and tell me what they want. And they hand me that witch tower, watchtower, what it is. Should be a witch tower. But but they come and they says, have you got a few minutes? Well, we can just talk to you a little bit about
God's word. I said, yeah. The few minutes don't end up being a few minutes. It ends up being 10 or 15 minutes that they give me all their ideas and what God's word is saying. And then they tell me, say, we thank you for listening and everything. And if you ever want to come to the services down there, you know where the Kingdom Hall is, right down the road and everything. I said, yeah, I know where it's at. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, now, I think you took about 15 minutes. I let you speak for about 15 minutes, yeah. I says, can you give me the same courtesy in speaking to you for 15 minutes? One man was down there, and I said that too, and his son, his 14-year-old son, was with him. And the only thing he mentioned about Jehovah God, Jehovah. I said, yeah, I believe in Jehovah. I also believe in God. I also believe in his son, Jesus Christ, that went to Calvary. And I also believe, the only way I could believe and trust both of them in what they say, as I've got to always remember that this one comes first. This is the one that you've got to obey first. And they looked at me. He already said something about Jehovah. He already said something about the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, now what's he going to say now? I says, now, I'm going to give it to you like it is. What God's word says. And I know God's word, and I know what it means and everything. And I grant you, he is my helper. He helps me out each and every day. He helps me to make the right decisions and to go on. And this individual is above God and above the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, you cannot get to the Lord Jesus Christ or to the Father without going through this other individual first. And that is the Holy Ghost. That is the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then I can say one thing. You better hurry up and wish you'd gone, and next time he convicts your heart and so you need to bow on your knees and you need to thank God that he allowed one more opportunity to where you could accept his precious word. But no. You don't want to bring up Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. You say, because that's not nothing, there's not nothing to them. Ain't unto them. Well, you know, everything I said to you is in a lie. If it ain't nothing to them. And you know something? And everything you said before me, in 15 minutes you talked to me, everything you said is a lie. That's all we was doing here, just lying to each other. If we have to believe that we don't have the Holy Spirit with us. I said, man, if the Holy Spirit right now, if I'd done something wrong and God the Father said, now son, you know you've done wrong.
Now, right now, the Holy Spirit's not going to be with you right now. I'm not going to let him speak to you anymore right now. Because of what you've done. I'd be an individual. So miserable. That I wouldn't know what to do. I could not be happy at all. That's where we're at today. That's the reason you have the churches that's in the shape at the end, the deadness of the churches. Well, you could have people come in here and say, well, you know, we have visiting today. And look around and count, and just 8 people came to preach on. Man, that church is dead. That church is dead. No, we ain't dead. We're alive. If we was dead, I wouldn't be up here preaching the King James Bible. If we was dead, we wouldn't be up here singing out of the hymn books that we're singing, and we would not sing about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're alive and well. And every time that we come in here, and every time that we stand and preach here God's word in songs or whatever, God the Father is here. He's rejoicing over what we're doing. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. And he's rejoicing because we remember him and we're bringing up his name. And then when we bring up the name of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, then we have God the Father and God the Son there in heaven. And they rejoicing. And not only them, and all the saints that went on before us. They rejoicing also. They rejoicing also. We need to remember that we may not be that many people here. But we're alive. We're alive and well. And we are plugged up. And we're plugged into someone that cares about us. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we ask you today that you would just take the word. And I know, Father, it may seem like it was scrambled or whatever, but Father, every word that I said, I believe it, Father, that it come from you. And I pray that you would go over each and every word that was said this morning. Go over it to my own heart. Go on it. On the hearts of the people that's here today. Allow them and what they heard that they can take that and they can use it to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And not just honor him, but it can also help them to live a life that they've been wanting to live. Father, we pray for the families. Lord, we pray for the ones that are not in church. Lord, I pray, God, that you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts. For the ones that are in church, we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to be with them, continue to teach the word, Father, as they understand it. And what they don't understand, and Father, that they will continue on just reading and praying. And Father, we do pray for the ones that are lost, that thinks they got all the time in the world, thinks that they can get saved anytime they want to. They could say, oh man, I got another 30, 40, 50 years to live. Oh, I can wait that long for you. No, you can't either. No, can't either. When the Word of God speaks to your heart, that's when He is calling you to the altar where the Holy Spirit and the Son of God is at. And we thank the Holy Spirit for speaking to your heart and leading you to the altar. Father, we pray for this church. Lord, we pray, God, it always be a lighthouse on the side of the highway here in this area, that as people go by, they can glance over to us and think, I need to turn around, I need to go back, because I thought I saw somebody I knew. They turn around, they come back. Yeah, they saw somebody. You know who it was? God the Father. Oh Lord, help me, Father. Lead me to the one, Father, that you want saved. Lead me, Father, to them. Lord Jesus, I just want to see people saved. I want to see them with your joy. And we do thank you. And we ask God that you go with us this week. And we'll live the life that will be meaningful to you and will also be meaningful to the people that we're around. Save that one lost. Reclaim that in the backslidden, we pray. Amen and amen.